Welcome, everybody. It's time for another episode of Asher Sales Sense. Brought to you by Asher Strategies, the only global sales training company that integrates leading sales methodologies and the latest neuroscience studies into a simple, repeatable 10-step process for sales success. That's Asher Strategies. Well, let's get right into it here. And this week, our host, Dave Potts. Hey, Dave.
Thank you, Paul. Paul's our announcer for Asher Sales Sense, and I'm Dave Potts in the Asher Strategies studio in Washington, D.C. Our host today is Kyle O'Connell, senior partner and sales facilitator at Asher Strategies. And the title of the show is Accelerate Sales by Automating Your Marketing. Kyle's guest is John Edwards, executive vice president at Communique, helping direct digital marketing and sales initiatives for both B2B and B2C clients. Topics covered during the program will include what John has learned with over 25 years of experience at leading organizations such as Time Warner, AOL, Netscape, CompuServe, and Communique. Kyla, over to you.
Thank you, Dave, and welcome, John Edwards. We're so happy to have you on our program today.
Kyla, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So, John, I'd like to start by asking to what degree marketing and sales has changed over the last 25 years, especially since the advent of the Internet.
Kyla, as I see it, the model has pretty much been flipped upside down. If you think about it, with every new technology or platform or service that has been developed over the last 25 years online, just about every one of them has empowered buyers to get information that they used to only be able to get from sellers. What that means is that salespeople now are no longer in total control of the flow of information. In fact, what we find is that buyers are probably now in charge of about the first two-thirds of their buying journey, because everything is just a few keystrokes away, whether it's going to Google search engines or popular social media platforms like LinkedIn or online databases like Hoover's. It's just too easy now to get information that historically was under the control of the seller. So what does that mean? It basically just means that companies now are going to need to have the tools and the processes to navigate that journey if they want to close deals faster.
So what I'm hearing you say is, we used to live in a world where companies just needed to help their sellers sell, but now we live in a world where they also need to help their buyers buy. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is exactly right. Now, you still need to know how to sell. Remember, I said that the first two-thirds of that journey, the buyers are in charge, but there is a point where that person is turned over to a salesperson, and boy, that salesperson still needs to know how to sell. It's critically important, and that's why Asher Strategies, for example, is so critically important to its clients. But you just need to kind of realize now that before the salesperson has that opportunity to talk to that buyer, the buyers probably already needed to buy four things. The first is that they have to by the fact that they have a problem or an opportunity that's in front of them, something that kind of wakes them up, it breaks the status quo, it's something that has caused them to take some form of action. And then they need to decide that this is a problem that they need to solve now versus deferring to sometime in the future. If they buy those two things, next they need to understand whether or not this is a problem or an opportunity that your company can solve. And then finally, they realize, of course, that there's more than one company out there probably that can solve this problem or deliver on this opportunity. So now you need to make sure that you are on that short list in terms of getting a chance to talk to them.
It's interesting what you said about you still have to be able to sell. Of course, like you mentioned, where we come in, and we always say the sales process starts with a qualified lead. So sure, there is a distinct journey that begins with a qualified lead, but you're so right. And what your company has done for us over the years is helped us find people out there looking for our services who are doing their own research, and we're able to just have the right information in front of them while they're doing that research to help them bring them to our website. And then of course, that's when our sales engagement begins. Given that there is such a powerful shift in the flow of information, what can today's companies do to empower buyers to buy from them?
Well, certainly, I think it starts with a simple premise, which is that in order to be found, you need to be findable, right? When I mentioned earlier that people are going to Google to search, put in a problem or an opportunity and see what the results are, they're going onto social media to engage with peers and to get guidance in terms of, you know, what they might be able to do, what their options are, you know, or go to databases and look for particular providers of capabilities. This is just kind of the simple notion that you really, as a company, you're going to want to fish where the fish are. And you're going to want to use the bait that the fish want. And in order to do those things, you know, you're going to need to have a good search engine strategy, social media strategy, content strategy, and the like. But those are topics for another day, but we would start there.
From our experience, however, they come across you initially. The journey almost always leads to our website for them to learn more. So what questions should our audience ask themselves about their website in this whole process?
So now we're getting into the first of the kind of the technologies, the platforms, or the capabilities. And it does begin with the website. And for our clients, I think the four questions that we encourage folks to ask themselves is, first, if somebody ends up on your website, is there valuable enough content on that site for them that they would be willing to give up if they have an issue and they need to educate themselves better in terms of what's possible? If there's content out there like ebooks and case studies and white papers and infographics and things that move them along, especially the kind of content that gets them to give up their personal information, which then turns them into a lead for you, then I think there's a real good value exchange going on there. So that's number one. The second one is that when they come back to your website, do you have the ability to track what they do? Do you know who they are? We'll talk a little bit later about capability technologies that allow that to happen. But if you don't possess that capability today, you need to understand that you can, and certainly also need to understand that if you don't, and your competitors can, so you need to think about that. The third question you need to ask is, can I track what they're doing in a way that allows me then, because I know who they are and what they're doing, that I could get them the right piece of buying content to the right person based on who they are and what they've been doing at the right time? So this kind of understanding the buying journey, understanding who those people are that are going through that process, what information do they need, in what sequence do they need it, and does all of the stuff that I just talked about enable me to do that? And then finally, given all of that, can I have what we call lead score these people over time? 80% of buyers initially are in what we call the research phase. It would just be too early for a salesperson, especially in a long sales cycle situation, to reach out and engage somebody who asked for their first ebook, for example. So we understand that a lot of people are educating themselves. But the more they do and the more we can give them and the more that we can track what they do with what we give them, we can actually score that and we can use that to then determine that this person is at a point in this journey where they really are ready for sales. And at that point, they're considered marketing qualified. They get handed over to a salesperson along with the information around what it was that made them qualified.
Okay. So in a nutshell, what you're describing is a lead capture, lead nurture, and lead qualification process. Can this process be automated?
It certainly can, as I kind of hinted at earlier. There are a number of companies out there. Some of our listeners today may know of some companies like HubSpot and Marketo and Pardot and Acton and Eloqua. I mean, if these are names of companies that are familiar to you, then you may already know what some of these tools can do, but they're called marketing automation platforms, and they do pretty much exactly what the name implies. They replace high-touch, repetitive processes that used to be done manually with automated processes that enable really multi-channel level marketing campaigns to happen that can engage with more leads in a scalable way in order to generate more sales. So in the end, they're really helping you. They automate email marketing, for example, landing pages, search engine keyword activity, your social publishing can be done through these platforms, lead nurturing and scoring. They have tremendous ability to do what we call A/B testing for continuous improvement. There's just a lot that these platforms can do to help even a small business scale up like a big business.
Kyla, it's time for a quick commercial break. Over 200 correlation studies show that natural aptitude is the most significant factor in predicting sales success. Asher's Advanced Personality Questionnaire, the APQ, consistently identifies peak performers in outside sales, inside sales, sales management, customer support, and 17 other business positions. Go to AsherStrategies.com today or call 866-833-9941. That's Asher Strategies at 866-833-9941. We've been speaking with John Edwards of Communique on how to accelerate sales by automating your marketing. Now back to Kyla and John.
John, I can see how this kind of automation can help you become more efficient and add scale at the same time. I know that personally, when my customers are followed up with through our automation system, it's wonderful because they'll reply to me or to the system, but it comes to me, and it's allowing me to maintain that best practice level of follow-up, even though it's now automated. And in addition to my own personal follow-ups, we're able to keep the constant communication going. So I find it extremely valuable. Can it be personalized to each prospect or customer?
Yeah, absolutely. And to close out maybe the prior conversation, when I talk about scale, what I'm referring to there is the fact that, you know, we could have thousands and thousands of people in our CRM and in our marketing automation database. And unlike what you might consider like a traditional just sort of email platform where you might create one message and just, you know, send it out to everybody, kind of a spray and pray kind of approach, these tools actually allow you to customize the communications in advance, tailored to each individual. So depending upon the industry that somebody's in, depending upon their job title, depending upon the date that they made their first download of an ebook related to something that we do, we can then actually automate that experience going forward. And number of days later, we'll send this piece of email or content. Whether they engage with it or not would depend on what the next piece of content gets. What's nice about that is that you can run 5 people through that experience, or you can run 5,000 people through that experience. So that's the scale piece of it. So now the question, though, then comes to what you just asked, which is, can those be personalized? The answer is yes. Because we know who you are and because we know what you do, personalization can be just sort of the right message to you at the right time of your buying journey, you know, as that's happening. But we also have the ability to actually even personalize the content that you see. So even pieces within an email could be tailored based on some action that was taken, where even the email that you see in that buying journey is a little bit different than somebody else's. So a lot of people think of personalization as, hey, they just put my name in the subject line or, you know, to John in the email. Personalization in this context is much richer. It's much more robust. And again, it's all done with an eye towards, are we empowering this person to buy from us? That's the key takeaway.
Okay, so how do automation and personalization combine to produce better quality leads? Because it's just more personalized, they're more responsive?
Again, if I'm getting the right information at the right time, and let's say I'm asking for that in a more accelerated fashion than somebody else, some people may not engage with this content as quickly as others. Answering those 4 questions, for example, that I mentioned earlier, right? Do I have a problem? Can you solve it? Do I need to solve it now? And are you the right people to talk to? All of those things, then you kind of take the next part of that journey and start to compress. So again, yeah, if it's more tailored, you can do that. The other thing that's really powerful about this, and I mentioned it earlier, is this idea of being able to track and lead score people. When is the right time to engage a salesperson? What information does the salesperson need to know before that first touch? And Kyla, you could speak to the importance of that initial power of that initial moment, those first impressions. Those first impressions aren't just when you physically walk through the door. It can be the first email that they get from you. It can be the first conversation that they have with you over the phone. So the more information that you have, are they ready? Are they ready now? What is it they're interested in? The more that you know, the better that handoff is and the better the chances of making the sale are. And that's really what these marketing automation platforms empower companies to be able to do well.
And we certainly have all experienced these sort of automated marketing platforms working on the B2C level, right? When we go research something on the internet and then all of a sudden our social media feed is full of whatever that item we were researching. It's almost like you have to be careful what you research. You're seeing it over and over again. So what other benefits can we expect from an automated marketing platform?
Well, I think one that jumps out is this idea of A-B testing. I mentioned that very briefly at the beginning, but this is basically just another way of saying continuous improvement. What if, for example, I could test different email subject lines in real time, right? I've got an audience of 2,000 people that are going to get an email. I want to be able to take 20% of that audience and send them one, or 10% and send them one email headline subject line. I want to send another 10% the other subject line. And in real time, I want to determine which one's getting opened more. And then when that happens, I want automatically the remaining 80% of the audience to get the winning headline. That's just one example. But you can do these kinds of tests in terms of day of week, time of day, frequency of emails, using mostly images or mostly text copy, short versus long, links versus buttons. All of these things are quote-unquote improvable conversion capabilities that really are only available to you, you know, if you have a tool that makes it easy to do that. Just think about figuring out what the winning strategies are, what the winning tactics are, locking those in, testing new approaches all the time. And then if a new tactic is better than an older tactic, you replace it and you move on, but you just get better and better as you go.
Okay, so now that I have a qualified lead because of the platform and all it can do, what's next and what other tools are involved?
Well, first, the big thing that people should think about is that a marketing automation platform is most powerful when it's connected to a CRM. When I talk about customer relationship management systems like that, I'm certainly referring to, for example, Salesforce.com, which most people probably know the best. So if you think about it, these marketing automation platforms are doing all of this automated marketing on the front end, and they're tracking what people do. And by the way, these platforms can track what the cost of a particular campaign is. So we went to a trade show and we spent X dollars and we came back with these leads and we put them in the marketing automation tool and we're now following up. Well, at the point that they become marketing qualified and they get handed over to the CRM, the digital body language, the stuff that these people have done up to that point, are now available to the salesperson within their CRM. Salesperson now goes out and starts to close that sale. They actually do close the sale. We know how much money they made from the sale. And we can tie the revenue that was generated, because it's being tracked in the CRM, connected to a marketing automation system that's tracking the marketing investment that was made at the front end. And now for the first time in your company's history, you have the ability to get an ROI out of that investment. So I'd say that's certainly the big one. The other thing that I would mention as a benefit is, you know, obviously the fact that a salesperson is now making a warm call instead of an initial cold call. My last thought on this would be that these marketing automation platforms connect to much more than just CRMs. They connect to a wide range of popular applications, webinar programs like, GoToWebinar, Google search and pay-per-click, pour data into these platforms for analytics and for making business rules and decisions. But you can do your social media publishing directly from these platforms. You've kind of got this hub and spoke model where emails and social and everything else is all being sort of programmed and pushed out of these sites and tracked. Event management software. So if we're, hosting an event and people are going to register and then they attend, we can track it. We can lead score it. Video platforms, how long people watch a video, give a different lead score if they watch the whole video versus part of it. Blog publishing, just so many capabilities today that can be connected into this automation experience to make everything better and stronger.
Kyla, it's time for the wrap up.
Okay, we have a couple of minutes left, John. Any last thoughts, and how can our listeners reach you?
Probably my last thought is going to be in the form of a question, which is, I think that our listeners should ask themselves, what's the cost of doing nothing? You know, is this something that I could just ignore? And probably more specifically, the question that should be asked is, what if I don't do anything about this, but my competitors are doing it? Well, you know, you're all competing for the same buyers. And if your competitor knows what their buyers are doing, when they're doing it, getting the right information that they need at the right time, they're tracking them, they're engaging their salespeople at the right moment, and all of that is invisible to you, then I think what you find is you've just woken up in a world where not just that the buyer is in charge, but that your competitor is in charge too. And that's probably not a place that you want to be. So, you know, clearly what we'd love to do is to have, be the early adopter of these capabilities to get out in front of competitors and to serve our buyers better. Like, we're really empowering them. That's the whole point of this. And by doing so, we prosper. You know, there is a better path, basically. And at my company, Communique, we are an organization that is here and we're ready to help. I would just encourage people to simply go to www.communique, that's communica.world to learn more. Or you can call anytime, 800-800-7890, and just ask for me.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, John. We learned a lot, and it just shows you how powerful and different the digital marketing landscape is today. So it's really nice to have you here, and I'm sure our listeners really appreciate this message. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you, Kyla and John. That's all the time we have for today. Our next show in 2 weeks will cover how business leaders can align sales and marketing strategy and execution to optimize growth. For Asher Sales Sense, it's a wrap. Paul, take it away.
You've been listening to another episode of Asher Sales Sense right here on Asher Strategies Radio.